stand by. Good day and welcome to the National Immigration Forum Dreamers Press Call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. And at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kathleen Farrell. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon and welcome to the National Immigration Forum Press Call. In September, the Trump administration announced an end by March 5, 2018, to the program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, a program that has protected some 800,000 young undocumented people from deportation and allowed them to work, study, and in many cases provide for their families. The end of DACA means that a significant number of young people are already at risk of deportation, and that number will begin to increase sharply early in the new year, unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution that addresses Dreamers in a constructive, compassionate way. This afternoon, we are fortunate to have with us on this call a law enforcement leader from Idaho, an evangelical pastor from Arizona, and a Dream and DACA beneficiary from Utah. Along with others from the South, Central, and Western U.S., our speakers today are coming to Washington later this week to meet with members of Congress and express the urgency in person. Their visit follows similar ones last month by military veterans and by evangelical leaders from the Southeast. With that, let me turn to our first speaker, Pastor Caleb Campbell, lead pastor of Desert Springs Bible Church in Phoenix. Please go ahead, Pastor Campbell.
Thank you. Dreamers are members of my community and my church, and what happens to them directly impacts me and my entire congregation. When the ruling was made to end the DACA program, many of the kids within our youth group and within our young adults group were asking for prayer, that we would pray for them, that they would be able to stay in the country that they call home, that they would be able to stay in the schools that they're in and in the workplaces that they're in. This impacts not only those that we minister to, but also our staff as we hire those who have benefited from DACA and as their leader and employer. It is important to me that we see Congress act, provide a solution. In September, I signed an evangelical letter to Congress that made many of the points that I will speak about today. The urgency has only increased and continues to rise. We need a solution for Dreamers that is consistent with our principles of faith, family, compassion, and welcoming the stranger. As an evangelical, I believe that all immigrants are made in the image of God, and we must treat all immigrants with dignity. Throughout the scriptures, we see God commanding his people to treat foreigners with special hospitality. And from Abraham to Paul, many biblical heroes were themselves immigrants, including Jesus, whose birth we will celebrate in just a few weeks. His parents brought him to Egypt to escape persecution from a maniacal dictator early in his life. Now, I'm especially concerned about the future of Dreamers because they offer so much good to my community and to my nation as a whole. We know that these young people who step forward in good faith are no threats to America. These young leaders are in our churches, in our communities, in our families, in our neighborhoods. They are studying in our universities and creating jobs for American workers. We also know a great many Dreamers are Christian, including evangelical Christians. In fact, the launch of the group called Voices of Christian Dreamers showcases this through videos in which evangelical Dreamers give thanks for the opportunities that our nation has provided them, even in the midst of doubt about their futures. As Americans, we are proud that our country has affirmed the biblical principle of valuing and protecting immigrants while also protecting national security. We offer our prayers, but also a sense of urgency as Congress addresses a solution for Dreamers so that they may continue to be a blessing to our communities.
Thank you very much, Pastor Campbell. Our next speaker is Captain Ron Weiniger of the Boise, Idaho Police Department. Please go ahead, Captain.
Thanks, Kathleen. It's my pleasure to join you today. And from the law enforcement perspective, this is not only a question of making sure talented young people have the opportunity to come to America and contribute. It's a question of public safety. And that is where the majority of my remarks will focus. So Our focus in local law enforcement is to address crime and criminal activity regardless of immigration status, and I believe that's where we should put our resources and our efforts and our focus. It's a very complicated issue. There are strong feelings across the board on this issue here in my community as well as across the country, and I recognize that. As law enforcement, we need policies that help all law-abiding people in our communities feel safe and secure, and those policies can help encourage residents to trust and cooperate with local and state law enforcement and police officers. The fear certainly that we have in our community as law enforcement leaders is that immigrants would be hesitant to report crimes or cooperate with investigations, and that's always a worry. Are we getting the reports that we need in order to make our community safe? Because if they do feel that way, then they are not safe and our communities are not safe. So when all immigrants feel safe engaging with us in local law enforcement, everybody in our community is safer. We need to focus on real solutions that address safety, security, and economic fairness. And in that spirit, my chief, the chief of police here in Boise, Idaho, along with about 60 other law enforcement leaders across the country, sheriffs and chiefs, signed a letter recently to Congress in October to express our concerns and urge a solution. And I'm coming to Washington later this week because we in law enforcement work with all members of our community, and we're always interested in finding ways to increase partnerships and find solutions to problems like this one. As I mentioned earlier, it's a very complicated issue, and it would have been resolved long before now if it was easy. But I've been encouraged by the support for a solution, and I hope that support translates into momentum to allow for solutions to be implemented soon. And that can even pave the way for additional reforms that would further help those of us in law enforcement to build trust with everyone in our communities and protect public safety. In my community, we engage with a significant immigrant population from many parts of the world, and we work to help them understand our laws, our customs, and our expectations, and we work to gain their trust so that they can report crimes and feel safe in our community, and that's what it's really all about. It's a difficult problem or issue to address, but I think we as law enforcement leaders, religious leaders, and business leaders coming together is a great start or continuation of that effort, and I look forward to being part of that solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Captain. And our final speaker this afternoon is Mark Castro, who's a DACA recipient and a student at Brigham Young University. Please go ahead, Bernardo.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity to be on this call with you guys today. I was brought to this country when I was only 4 years old. I don't remember anything from Mexico. I have very vague memories, and they're just a blur in my mind. This is the only country that I know. I feel like I'm American, like everybody else, except in one way, and that's on paper, status-wise. I grew up just like everybody else with all my classmates. I grew up singing 50 Nifty United States in school and then performing that for my school at assemblies, you know, in elementary school. I pledge allegiance every day in elementary school to the flag. I remember distinctly when 9/11 happened and when I was in fourth grade. And how that hurts, because as a child you can understand pain and you can understand sadness because your country was attacked. All these things, I feel American in my heart, and I'm just looking for an outlet to be able to give back. My family decided to come to Utah because we're Mormon. My mom in Mexico was harassed because of her religion, and she wanted us to grow up in a place where we weren't going to be harassed because of our values, because of what we believed in. And she decided to come here to the great state of Utah. And we just grew up here with everybody else, with all of our friends, going to their houses, having sleepovers. They'd come to dinner at our house. We'd go to dinner at their house. My mom would make this amazing chili sauce that my friends would try, and then they'd take some home to share with their families. And so it's just part of that community that we love, of being here. to be part of this great nation. DACA has allowed me to be able to pursue my dreams of higher education, to be able to go to school. I'm two semesters away from graduating with a bachelor's degree in business management from BYU. And to be able to get a job that has decent benefits, you know, that has the ability that if you get hurt, you can get treatment, that if you need to take some time off, you know that there will be money set aside for that when you come back from that emergency or whatever it is. Also, DACA has allowed me a way to provide for my family, to be able to help out others that might need some type of help. Every day that Congress waits to find a solution is a day of growing uncertainty for me and hundreds of thousands of others just like me. And we want to keep contributing. We want to keep providing for ourselves and our families here in our home, the United States. I'm coming to Washington later this week because we're ready to give back. And we want to be free of the questions that are weighing us down right now. We need Congress to pass a solution as quick as possible. A lot of DACA recipients, either undocumented and unafraid, I like to say that I'm undocumented and scared. And the reason why I say that is not scared for myself. I know that I'll be okay, whatever ends up happening. But I'm scared for all those who are caught in the middle, all of those who are U.S. citizens and will lose a brother or a sister or maybe a mom and dad in this immigration fight that we have right now. And so that's what I'm trying to go to Washington to advocate for, not only my fellow dreamers, but immigrants in general that contribute to this country. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Bernardo. Operator, could you please open the line for questions?
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And to allow time for everyone's questions today, we ask that you please limit yourselves to one question and to re-queue for any follow-ups. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal.
In the meantime, I'd like to ask Pastor Campbell a question. Pastor Campbell, is your community, is your faith community supportive of dreamers and immigrants? And if so, how do they manifest that support?
The faith community here within our local congregation, yes. We are very supportive of dreamers. They're a part of our church family. And so in the same way that we support one another, through encouragement, prayer. But in this particular moment, of course, speaking to our representatives in government is one of the ways that we generally are using our voice to speak out on behalf of our brothers and sisters who this directly impacts.
Operator, if there's a question, could the person please go ahead?
Yes, and we'll take our first question from Kelsey Dallas with Deseret News.
Hi, this is Kelsey. Thanks so much for hosting this call. I know right now Congress is pretty preoccupied with tax reform, but do we have any sense when they might get to a DREAM Act? Will this be before the end of the year?
I don't know if any of our speakers want to take that one, but I'm happy to say that, we're all very hopeful that this will be done quickly, and there is a lot of urgency, and hence the call this afternoon and the fly-ins that not only our group but many other groups are coordinating and supporting this week and next.
And once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And it appears there are no further phone questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you to our speakers. Enjoy the rest of your day. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And this does conclude today's call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.